The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
Perspective. What is up, Para-Eves? It is Wednesday, 5/25/2022. I'm your host, Shauna, with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. You're listening to part two of my interview with Patty Negri tonight. Coming up in the future, I have some more true crime, some more geek searches. I have another interview with an awesome, awesome guest. We're going to talk about his sci-fi game and his comics. And just wait, there's more. last week, I told you we had an investigation. I was off by a week. That wasn't last weekend. That is next weekend. So, yeah, not this weekend, but the 4th of June, y'all. All right. All right, enough of my shenanigans. On with the show.
I do know that I've talked to quite a few people that have seen my studio and my house. And I had one person say, well, you've got a little boy that's there. You've got about a 15-year-old girl, and you got an older lady and an older gentleman. And I'm sitting there going, okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
That's a lot for one house.
Right. Well, I know there's a boy. Do they have what?
Do they hang out all the time, or they just come and go? Most come and go.
They come and go. Now the boy, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he comes and goes, but just like last night, I had an incident where I heard the dogs ran up to the front of the house, and I heard somebody say, hello. That sounded just like my mother-in-law. And hey. So I'm like, just a minute. And I put the dogs up and I go to the front door. There's nobody there. Nobody there. So I look at my husband. I said, did you hear something go on? No. Was your mom here? No. Okay. They're tricking me again.
Because they can.
They done it with her voice. And he heard it that time. And he could not explain it because she had gone with her grandmother. And next thing we know, I hear, mommy. And it sounded just like her voice. And we go, I look at him like, didn't she leave with your mom? And he goes, yeah, but she could have came back for something. So I went back to the front. Nothing. Nobody there. I said, but you heard it, right? And he goes, yeah, I heard it. I said, told you.
Yeah. I know my husband doesn't get any of this either, but I can always tell in his voice when something's real and expanded. I hear this, Patty. Oh, yeah. And I'll walk in. It's like, why is the picture out of the frame? But it's all sealed up. Maybe he's mad at us.
You know? Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a sweet little French house ghost.
Oh,
and this house was hers. Yeah, she's French. Her name. We got the house in 2001. We've been here like 20 years. We renovated it, but she bought the house in the 60s, and she was in her 60s, and she died in 98, and the house came with her. But her stuff is in it too. In the then dirt basement was her art, her paintings, her macrame, her everything from every decade that she lived here. And so, and I have it up. So it's like a shrine to her. So she came with the house. It's nice. She plays the drums. My husband's a drummer, which I keep saying. And we have a really high shelf. It's like 12 feet high. No one can reach it. And we put antique drums on. So instead of table tapping, if we're doing a seance around the table, or if I'm just doing a reading, it's like, I get rim shots. I get, thank you, Adrian. And it's like everybody's like, yeah, no one could reach it. No.
Oh my gosh.
If you got a drum, play it.
All right. Especially that high up.
Yeah.
Well, I have seen some pictures of your house. Of course, the ones where you're standing, you know, in there, like in front of your fireplace, I think it is, with your candelabras on either side. I've seen that picture. And of course, I've seen your little, is this your office or is this just your little office? Nook?
This is my office. I'm in one corner of my office. I've got partner desks. I've got one over there just for my stuff to pile up and around. And that goes out to my garden. Our house is just a regular size house. It's a 1920s bungalow, but when we got it, it literally was 600 square feet, which is pretty little.
Yeah.
On a third of an acre of land in the Hollywood Hills.
Wow.
So, but I'm like, we can't live in a 600 square foot. It was two tiny bedrooms, one tiny living room, a tiny kitchen, and a tiny bathroom on this big land. And it was a hillside, so you have a view. Wow. And so we added on the up main floor, a master bedroom and bathroom, and we dug out the basement because it was a downslope anyway, and put this office and then a guest bedroom and a laundry room and another bathroom and the recording room, a big, great big music room, man cave, cigar walk-in closet, man cave for my husband, but big ducks. And then, so, and with all that added, it still made it like a 2000 square foot house, just a regular, not right. like most urban around here. So, but it came with a nice ghost. And then we have this beautiful yard, which is really good.
I bet she loves.
I like being on the outside. When we first got it, before they built the like big mansion across the street, we had a deer in here. It's like, yes, I want to live 5 minutes from Hollywood and Vine in the middle of an urban city where you can get food and restaurants 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And yet have deer play in my backyard.
Exactly. So, I live in Oklahoma. Hey. But we got flatland, we got hills, we got woods, we got deer all the time, especially in the cold. You got to make sure you don't hit them because, oh my goodness, I feel so bad for them, especially when semis hit them and they just explode. I'm just like, oh gosh.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that. Yeah. Ours are Hollywood deer. They all have agents.
Okay, you're going to be on this property for about an hour. Then you got to leave to go to this property.
Yeah, because I live, there's a reservoir there. It's called Lake Hollywood. And they built it in the 20s, William Mulholland, and it's surrounded with pine trees. You would not know you were in the middle of Los Angeles. And you're in the country somewhere. So it's like a 3.5 mile walk around. And we walk with the deers and the bobcats and the mountain lion. And I'm 5 minutes from Hollywood and Vine.
I bet that is wonderful.
But you can't let your dogs or cats out unattended. Can't let your cats out at all between the coyotes and the mountain lions.
Oh, my. Now, near that area, there's a lot of, like, of course, there's urban legends and stuff talking about the Hollywood sign and people diving to their deaths and everything. Do you get a lot of that negative energy around that area or not really?
It's more positive than negative. There, yes, everything has its tragedies and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's a vortex here and all through the hills, Hollywood Hills, all the way down to Malibu. There's this big energy vortex, like a belly button. And I honestly believe that that is why Hollywood is exactly where it is. It's right near the Hollywood sign. And it's halfway in between Hollywood and Burbank, which is the entertainment capital of the world. It's not marked. This is a vortex, but every time I've been there, there'll be lovers kissing or actors rehearsing or musicians playing or nuns praying and reading the Bible. It drew in the creative, the actors, the writers, the musicians, the people who wanted, and the spiritual. Within a mile of my house, I have at least seven. I have a big Catholic monastery. I have Vedanta. I have Self-Realization Philip. I have Scientologists. Wow. I have the Quedanta. I have the Theosophy. It brought the right brain people in. And that's why we're not like 50 miles that way or 50 miles this way. So it's a love-hate energy. Some people cannot stand like some people don't like New York. Every place has its own thing. I love New York, but LA is my home and Hollywood is my home. But some people like you and I you thrive if you're that kind of crazy person.
Well,
but no, and it's like my little neighborhood. I've never lived. Everybody thinks, oh, Hollywood people, it's a complete industry neighborhood, but everybody knows everybody. We know all of our neighbors. We have these big block parties. It's not stuck up anything. It's creative people hanging together. And I've never lived anywhere. And I grew up in suburbia where everybody's supposed to know everybody.
Right.
Here we really do.
Nice.
My little neighborhood's And it's a cross between, really, it was mostly built in the 1920s. So it would be a little writer shack, little bungalow, movie star house, and a mix of everything. And so it still is. Right. It's not like all fancy or all this. And we're not one of the protected areas that some, you can't build a new house. We'll have a super ultra modern and then an old. And it's perfect.
Were a lot of those houses built there, built by the person that owned them the first time? Or were, I mean, like with them building it personally?
Yeah. It's not track house. There's no a bunch of houses the same of anything. They're all very individual. And there, again, there's like the Marilyn Manson house with the, which is built in the 20s by Charlie Chaplin and is crazy haunted and big, over the top things, and the simplest little shack that was probably a hunting cabin before the 1920s neighborhood. There's a couple old hunting cabins up here when it was.
Oh, wow.
It was just the hills.
Because whenever you added on to your house and you added the basement and everything, did you ask the nice French lady if you could do it, or did you just do it because you knew she could?
Yeah. Well, it's just like we need a bigger house. So, and at first we didn't even know her very well, but once we did know her, then we had a flood just a few years in.
A
bad flood. It was a pipe thing. From all of a sudden, the upstairs main level. My husband woke. It was Halloween Eve too, and we had a big show production company the next day. All my upstairs was a bathtub of hot water. I'm like, oh no. And I'm thinking downstairs was a shower of hot water on this desk right here. My computers, my printers just showering from the ceiling. I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. I don't even know. Electricity was out because of that. Put it out. Don't know what to do. And give the cell phone. And we had one of those water reclamation that by 5 a.m, they were knocking out my still kind of new walls and hardwood floors. But we had to move out for like 3 or 4 or 5 months. And they put us in a fancy house. It was nice in my neighborhood because I'm like, don't put me in the valley. Don't put me here. But they put me in one of those movie star kind of houses, which is fun.
Nice.
It's like, we called it the holiday house because we had it from Halloween through like Valentine's Day.
All the major holidays.
yeah, holiday house. But she was so mad when we moved back in that we had moved out and all this construction. That's when she took our picture out. We have these 5 pictures, and it's like my mom and my grandpa and his parents, and then one of Adrian, the lady who owned the house, and one of us, one of those goofy portrait ones when we first met. And that was empty. It was just a white, where there should have been a picture and an antique frame around it, sealed on the back with duct tape, but the picture was on the floor, but the glass wasn't, and the picture was sealed. And so we have a lot of it. Carrie's like, can't explain this. No.
She has got a personality.
Yeah. She likes roses. And again, a lot of the neighbors have been here for a long time. And some of the older ones did move in the 60s like she did, like a lot of the old laughing TV producers and stuff. And it's always been eclectic, very that. So, and some of them still live here. She used to sing La Vie en Rose. So she likes roses. When we got married here, we did a garden wedding. And roses were like shooting out of my bouquet. And the neighbors who had known her, they go, that's Adrian. Okay, that's cool.
That is cool. Now, going a little bit further back into your history, you were 4 whenever you realized you could.
Somewhere in there. I mean, I just always did.
Yeah.
I just knew those. Almost cliche, the thing in the closet and under the bed where kids always see it. Really was.
Right.
Again, some were scary and some weren't scary, but it was just what was. I think the only negative part of it is that I still, as an adult, as a person who lives in this world, which is bad after you reach a certain age, I sleep on my face like this with my head down. Which is so bad. They say, sleep on your back, wrinkles, don't squish your face. No, I still squish like this.
Do you do it to hide your eyes or just so you can't see them?
It's a leftover from the kids. Which it's like, I could make them go away. It doesn't matter. I cannot sleep unless I'm bad. I try to sleep on your back. I can't.
It was like those that curl up into a little ball, and I don't understand how y'all sleep like that. Oh my gosh. I have to be like, I'm just sprawled out.
God.
Hey, this is Lee from the Dead Zone. I want to give a huge shout out to Shauna and congratulations on her new podcast, Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. You'll hear some amazing guests like me.
Whatever.
Paranormal and true crime stories and more. Catch her Wednesdays at 8 Central on the Para-X Radio Network.
But you went from doing all that. Now, I understand because I'm from that era where you really can't express who you are because, oh, if you did this, then you're just... you're crazy, or you do this, you're crazy. Whenever you started coming into an age of doing something with your life, you said you modeled, you acted. What got you into that field?
I think my mom had been a performer, mm-hmm. and she gave it up for family like you did in that day. Mm-hmm. She was a singer, she was a dancer. And I was so shy as a kid, and I lived in my spirit world with my stuffed animals. And so it was one of those, Patty's such a nice girl, but she's so shy. She painfully shy. So at that day they like, take her dance classes. This was before the years that everybody just did soccer. So my mom put me into dance class and ballet class and tap class and tumbling class. And within like a year or two, I came out of my shell. Patty's such a nice girl, but she doesn't shut up.
keep people in pain.
But I think there was in the teenage years, I didn't want to know. I shut it down pretty much.
Oh, wow.
And just because I wanted to, I just wanted to be normal. You know, those years you want to be normal, then you get over that.
Yeah.
But I would astral travel all the time out of my body. It's like, I don't want to. I went through like the 80s wearing a hat on my head because until you learn how to not leave your body, which a lot of us leave, a hat will keep you in. So I went through the 80s with a hat on and then I was like, this isn't working for me either though. So that's when I really became a seeker going, and I think that was the day of like Shirley MacLaine and Out on a Limb and ooh, reincarnation and oh, this is fun. I like this. I didn't like the church stuff or the temple stuff or the Buddha. I didn't like all that I tried, and I tried it all. Once my mom said I could do anything I wanted, I did. But I like that. But then again, the whole new agey thing was just a little too pastel-y for me of the day. And then that's kind of when I met a little group of witches, I think, or something. It's like, oh, I like them. And, you know, positive magic and nature. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, but again, I still kept working everything and studying because I throw it all in one great big stew pot and use it all. You said, it's all, if you take it down to the energy level, vibrational level, whatever the words are, it's like a template. It's like, it's how you navigate, whatever your belief system, make it up yourself, take from everybody, use a standard one. The purpose of it, whether real or not, doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. It's so you can navigate your life.
Yeah,
it's a roadmap.
Always do unto others as you would have them do unto you always. Yeah. And that's a big rule I live by.
Yeah, me
too. A big rule. Because you get some of these assholes out there and it's like, oh, come on. Why do you purposely be an asshole? Do you just love being miserable? And it's amazing how many people love being miserable in this world.
I know. It's crazy.
It is. Why? When there's so much greatness with positivity.
It's what they're used to. They're what they're used to. And a part of our human condition, it wants what we know. It wants us comfortable more than the unknown. So even if that's why people stay in abusive relationships. Yeah. Even though you're miserable and you're not happy, it's what you know.
Right.
And we're so afraid of the unknown. That's why even in my school, you're teaching, it's like embrace that fear, embrace what you don't know. Because fear can freeze us in our tracks. Fear can make us not make that phone call, not go for that career, not start a paranormal team. Not fear could, I'm afraid or be afraid of judgment. Or, because I live in Hollywood, fear is a million-dollar industry.
Right?
We pay money to see scary movies about Ouija boards. We join paranormal groups. We watch Ghost Adventures. We watch all those shows. We ride roller coasters. We jump out of planes. We daredevil stuff. We embrace that fear. So why that same fear? Like, I'm so scared and I'm going to do this. Right. Why don't we take that to the stuff like, I'm going to push my career or make that phone call or say what I really want to say.
It's
perception. Everything is the perception. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go to the next person. Yep. That one says no, go to the next person.
Yeah.
You do want to please people and you do get that fear. And it's like when I started this podcast, you know, I always want to say, you know, I'm fearless to a point because when I was starting this one, it was like, oh, can I do this on my own? Can I do it without having somebody bantering back? Can I? And yeah, I can. And it's easier. And I get to hear you guys more.
And you do it very well.
Well, thank you. But going into more of your, because you said you were big into corporate and you didn't want to put this stuff out. And I know we keep going back and then coming forward and then going back. But what business were you running?
I came out of the thing. So anyway, let me go back to high school when I wanted to be normal. And again, I was a kind of a dancer and my mom had been theatrical. So I started modeling again. I'm in LA. So yeah. I was on Teen Magazine. I used to model for Kodak. They used to make this thing called film.
I love film better than did you.
And I was the all-American teenage, the all-American bride, the all-American whatever. But by the ripe old age of 18, I think, I didn't want that anymore. I wanted something so different that I didn't have to wear false eyelashes or worry about what I, so I wanted to be a nurse because I think I was dating a doctor. I wanted to be a nurse. So I did this whole stint. That's why I'm an EMT, I'm cardiology tech and special. So, but then I found myself, you know, tap dancing on bedpans and talking to spirits going, this was a wrong turn. Hospital life is not for me. I tried working. So I came back to the theatrical world and was performing live shows, 2 shows a night at the Broadway Arts. We did 1920s and 1930s. I was kind of like their blonde, dumb blonde comic and tap dancer. And I just loved it. And that kind of worked into film and TV. And I did, again, a lot in those early days, like Fantasy Island, Love Boat, Chips, anything that you have a girl in not very many clothes. All right. Roller skating badly, you know. But when you're that girl, you get old really fast. And by 30, I'm like, I'm too old for Hollywood. Again, the same thing when I came into my power with health-wise, I'm like, I've outaged Hollywood. So, well, I'll just start a production company and hire myself. Makes sense to me. Hey, right? So I started, again, mostly live, more live than anything else, because I had a big theatrical background and the improv and sketch stuff. So it all just kind of, there's a lot more to it, molded in. So I started my first production company with 2 partners. Then it was a weird, the 3-way partnership and that didn't work. So I started my other company, Brain Brew. And again, I still have it, but just don't have time for it. Oh, but that busy. 2008 big, and I was traveling the world and I specialized in interactive, which is now called immersive theater, but it was then interactive theater. You know, I'd be going off to Greece and doing a scavenger hunt for movie stars on the Greek islands or, you know, photo safaris or, you know, a lot of shows in Vegas, a lot of shows in Atlantic City, a lot of shows in Laughlin and Reno and Tahoe. And then the corporate-y stuff and live, interactive, from a murder mystery. But you guys know the murder mystery where you're solving something, but we took it next level where it's a scripted show. We have a full band. It's soundtrack like a musical, but still there's no fourth wall. So you're in a speakeasy. You're in a Western thing.
Nice.
But you do know who the actors are because they are mic'd up. And then they break into song and dance. So we kind of just kept next generationing it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we did a bunch of big shows in Vegas for their high rollers and whatever.
Oh, wow.
But this is still more fun.
Yeah, you get to go everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And
everywhere. See everything. I mean, just being able to go to the Cecil Hotel or... have you been on the Queen Mary yet?
I grew up on the Queen Mary.
I can't remember. I'm trying to think of a show that you were on. That you were
I did Queen TFIL Mary. On the Queen Mary.
I've done some
YouTubers, but the ones that anybody would have seen was TFIL. That's where I grew up. I was born in Long Beach. I grew up in Lakewood, a suburban area next to Long Beach. And our proms were on the Queen Mary. Everybody, half the people I know got married. That's just what you did. That was the rental space of the day. But me being me, I remember my high school prom sneaking in. Now you can't hardly sneak anywhere. Yeah. Though I'm still pretty good at it. We snuck into the Cecil. I can't believe it took me years. I recently snuck into the Cecil.
Oh, I know
we bribed our way into the season.
Ah, okay.
But still, I've tried that before to no success. But anyway, I remember in high school at my prom, it's like I snuck back into the pool area where the little girl ghost is, the empty indoor pool, and saw her, in high school.
Do you think that when people like it's advertised like the Queen Mary and Cecil Hotel and everything that's been publicly known as haunted, do you think they get really contaminated over time and some of the hauntings are just not there anymore?
Yeah, I think that can happen. Yes, or they're there, or it's residual, or they come and go, or there's not a guarantee. And I there's also something that I almost think it's like, is this ghost abuse? Right. You know, some locations like, even though investigators are better, it's like, please give them a night off.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's like
Malvern Manor and all that. But
yeah, it's like maybe it's overdone here. If any of these spirits are stuck here, give them a break. Or if they're not stuck, it's like, but I do also believe some like it, the good, the bad, and ugly. What I've, since I was a kid, I always say big in life, big in death. So, you know, Bob the quiet banker is Bob the quiet ghost in his house, or he might hang out at the bank, but nobody's going to know he's there. But if you're some movie star or serial killer or anywhere in between, and you were big in life, you're going to be big in death. Or if you're, you know, the crazy guys in the jail, those are all big personalities.
Right. Oh my gosh. Now, have you done any kind of work or anything with police officers, with detectives?
I haven't. It's so funny. People have been asking me that lately. I think it's just...
They're big skeptics.
They're big skeptics is fine. A few years ago, I was contacted, I think it was in Indiana, by two reporters in their town. I don't remember what it was. There was this unsolved mystery, 100-year-old that wouldn't die. I don't know the name. And it was this little... like 13-year-old who had disappeared, and they just wanted me kind of go into trance state and do whatever. And I'd never done anything like that at all. Trying to, no one ever knew what happened to her. So they're both on the phone. They're just recording. I think it was recording it. And I'm just saying what I'm seeing. And I'm saying stuff like, the water east of town, and there's a little tiny hunting shop, water east of town. And they're sitting there going, there's no water east of town. There's no water east of town. 100-year-old maps, there was water east of town. So that was kind of cool. I got all this stuff. I don't know that it ever could be proved on cold case. And I was a traveling person and whatever. And we kind of figured it out. But I, again, once they looked and think, oh yeah, there was water east. I don't know, whatever, they dammed it up or moved it or whatever had happened. But that was interesting. And I think that I wish I better look up her name, because I think somebody was making even a movie about this unsolved, never die cold case. And I'm like, well, that could actually be fun to do. Actually, just today I was filming a thing. It's a documentary. These two women have a production company doing a documentary about what happened to their dad like 20 years ago. And so they started with me and I sent them on their way. And I'm not free to talk about it, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And I sent them on their way, and some stuff that I was saying, they're like, oh my God, that's this and that's this. Mm-hmm. And a couple of little things. I'm like, no, there's something about the shirt. She goes, oh, I forgot to give you this. The thing. And I go, no, something in the pocket. She goes, oh, I was trying to trick you. I hid this in my pocket, a picture of my dad to see if you
It's like, you can't trick a psychic, especially one that's as known as you. I mean, come on.
But so it was really fun because the one girl is a scientist and she doesn't get this world. She go, and we're working with the spirit board. She's like, I'm not doing this. Like, no. this is freaking me out. And she's the one who was trying to trick me with the pockets. I'm trying to trick you. I tried to trick you. It's okay.
Well, there is.
So they're off on their journey now to go, who knows what I told them, right or wrong.
I don't know. And then we got to wait till they come out with the thing before we find out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to keep me updated on that, because I would love
to
see that.
I know. Because this is a really interesting story.
Oh. Exploring the Paranormal Perspective will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman-Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Throughout time, events have occurred that have shaped human history. Spirit voices from the past have many stories to tell, and for the past several years, channelers Barry and Connie Strom have been conducting live channeling sessions and relaying those stories and messages from those on the other side. We invite you to tune in to Barry and Connie's new show, Channeling History, on the ParaX Radio Network, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as they relay the messages of those voices from the past. The ones who have witnessed history firsthand, and those who have made history themselves.
Hey, this is Lee from the Dead Zone. I want to give a huge shout out to Shauna and congratulations on her new podcast, Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. You'll hear some amazing guests like me.
Whatever.
Paranormal and true crime stories and more. Catch her Wednesdays at 8 Central on the ParaX Radio Network.
Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
But, you know, just seeing that, it's like, what can they really change at that young of an age? I mean, how are they raised for them to do something like that at such a young age?
I know I have a person who's a friend. I met him. He's a mortician. And wow. I've worked with a lot of dead people. and I met him through this woman had lost her husband and her son within the same week.
Her
lost her husband. I think he was ill, but then her son, like it was kind of I don't remember if it's suicide or murder. Suicide or accidental death of some. And this poor woman lost everything within 1 week.
God,
and
bless her heart.
We were doing like this, a dump supper or a seance or something. And the person who had become her best friend was this mortician person. And he is so intuitive. We were like tag teaming back and forth talking to the spirits. Wow. And I was so intrigued with this guy. And he started sending me information. He was one of those frontal lobe people. And they caught it early. One of those, why do you torture cats kind of people? Yeah. Why do you thing like that? Mm-hmm. And they put him into all this experimental and psychological and whatever stuff. And he did come out.
Wow.
Family, wife, but a mortician. He was still like whatever, doing things to bodies like that.
Well, I mean, but he found something to satisfy.
But he found something that would work. And yeah.
Kind of like Dexter.
Yes, I think kind of like Dexter. And yeah, very much so. And, you know, I was so into it, I had him do my mom. I mean, not do my mom. That sounds funny when you're not. But, you know, when she passed, he was who I went to. It's like, no, he's a guy who did turn his life around. Mm-hmm. He could have been a serial killer. Right. And, found a way to make the frontal lobe thing work. And wow. You can, because I don't know, they say you can't learn. There's the thing that we know right from wrong, or not empathy, mm-hmm. but whatever that thing that some people don't have it.
Yeah.
But I guess you can learn it.
Oh, whether, wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because a lot of people becomes, like I'm struck. I don't know what that is. What is that?
I
word?
Know. I can't think.
But yeah, they don't have, sociopaths that don't have any kind of emotions or anything. Richard Ramirez reminded me of a sociopath, but there was something else about him. There was just, he wasn't right at all. Now that was Ted Bundy or Wayne Gacy. And no, there's a lot of those that you sit there and you watch, especially when they do their interviews and stuff. And you're like, there's something missing in them. I mean, completely missing in them. And I listen to serial killers. I listen to true crime. And my husband thinks I'm crazy sometimes, I'm sure. But it's interesting. And I'll talk about this in front of my daughter. And it's like, don't ever do anything like this. Be a good girl. Stay a good girl, you know? But she's been interested in everything that I've been doing. Well, I was pregnant when I went on my first investigation with her, and when I realized, you know, hey, no, I probably shouldn't do that while I'm pregnant. she grew up watching me do this.
Yeah, it's all good.
You
close.
Are going to a lot of places this year. You went to a lot of places last year. Now, was 2020 kind of a hold up for you? Did you?
2020 was a little, that's when it first hit. And that's when the Zoom world happened.
Yeah.
As we know, but it all changed last year, and I haven't got sick. I'm vaccinated. I'm boosted. I'm smart, but I'm not too smart. I've been, nobody's vaccinated, but I haven't got sick.
I've gotten sick, and again, but I'm naturally vaxxed.
Yeah. but again, I'm the girl who doesn't get sick, even though I was sick. Right. So
well,
I'm
not gonna get sick. Positivity.
You blow. Yeah. Yeah, no, I have two more things tonight. I've got a dinner out and then a Agora lounge. Vampire folks.
Ooh.
A friend here from Romania, and I'm getting ready for the Romania tour. But yeah, no, in next week I'm doing a little getaway actually to Laguna Beach, which is a nice little resort beach here. And then I'm excited for a Festival of the Unexplained in the UK at Bosworth Hall. Nice. I've never been in the UK. Yeah. So that's only 2 weeks, I think.
Never been overseas. But my family's from overseas. German.
Yeah. I've been to Greece, which is amazing. Oh, and that was Greece. A work trip. I've been to France a couple times. And one of those was a work trip in Australia. So, but I have so much of Europe, but that's why I'm excited about Ireland. We're doing Ireland castles. We're doing Romania castles and a whole Dracula thing.
Yes.
And I like the Bosworth Hall that we're doing. Is it's an old haunted place and the health spa, a spa. I'm like, a spa? Yeah, you go hunt the ghost. I'm going to get a massage.
Well, I know you're very into the vampire ghosts. They're going to be right over here. But you're very into vampires. So you go to the vampire ball every year. You're doing this.
I do almost every vampire ball, New Orleans, Salem, LA, Dallas. I met, because they're not what people think they are. I mean, some might be, just like anybody who's the witches are bad witches, good witches.
Right.
But I met Sebastian, Father Sebastian, on Ghost Adventures at the museum. He was passed out on the floor by Bela Lugosi's mirror. And we just became like social media friends, both in LA. And he offered to fang me. And I'm like, oh, you're cute. But my idea of vampires isn't good. I go, it's not a moralistic thing, but I don't like psychic vampires. Not even about the drinking blood. And I started reading his books. I have one right here because I just did his wedding. And I go, why did it go blurry?
I don't know.
It went blurry.
That's crazy.
Wow. And it cleared up. Ghost in the, okay, vampire. So anyway, his books, they're just like my magic. Just a little more in hedonistic, and I'm pretty like embrace life. It's his magic ritual. It's about being gentlemanly and decor. And so my big thing is the only difference of vampires and witches is for witches, for our cloaks, they're either like organic cotton or Stevie Nicks lace. A vampire cloak is the finest of velvet with a red satin lining.
Oh, wow.
That's the difference. I mean, he gets mad at me, but it almost slightly different words, but they call the corners they do. And it's all, we do positive magic. I'm sure that's not everybody, but our saber tooth clan. So just in the LA bar, we did beautiful seance. We did beautiful ritual, bring the world together ritual. And that's what we do. Again, just, we like to dress up and do it and dance.
Now I know you went out a couple of times in 2020 because I do follow you. So I've seen pictures where you've gone on walks and stuff and everything. Now, during that time, were you doing a lot of Zoom stuff? Can you do a lot of Zoom stuff online, or is it just not the same as?
No, it's exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. It would be great if we were sitting, but I've started all my clients, which I've always had an international clientele just because of the TV stuff. So those had to be Zoom or whatever, Skype or whatever. But I started people, especially in 2020, people can't come in my house. So I started doing everything by Zoom. It's just as good. And then I'm like, what? I can't do my seances around the dining room table. Zoom seances are just as good.
Really?
I could have 25. I just did one two nights ago for my school. Whether we're 12 people or 25 people, two big ones get too big. What I do, I work with this guy in the UK and there are 75 people. That's three pages. You can't see everything going on, but we'll all get the same goosebumps at the same time. We'll all see the orbs over here. We'll see something go from there to there. And the spirits, if they don't have time and space on the other side, and I don't believe they do, this is no different. That we are sitting around, like you and I are sitting across from each other at a desk or not. It doesn't feel any different. You know, except for that we're two-dimensional instead of three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And spirits are dimensional anyway. So
that's
the only thing I still do more legit, nationwide, it's all legit, is clearings. If I can go out to the house or building or office a warehouse and do it. But I have done them remote for people who can't, they're far away, and I explain what to use because I am elemental. It's you need Palo Santo and you need this kind of mugwort and you need this kind of bell and you need this kind of sound. But I've done it online, but that's what I started doing first with live people again. Oh. Even those days when everybody's masked up and you're 6 feet away, but follow me around with the trampoline.
You use bells a lot. I've noticed that you do use a different type of bells or different type
of sound. It's magic. I mean, think about music can relax you, put you to sleep, invigorate you, make you frisky. It's the vibration of the sound. That's why now that science has caught up with binaural beats and subliminal, all that stuff. But it's always been around, whether it's church bells or temple bells or whatever bells. You can clear a room. You could change everything in one ring of a bell.
Ah, and those beautiful bells are so beautiful. I know it's getting to that time. I got so much I still want to ask you, but we're probably, if you would love to come back on again.
I would love to come back on. We could finish up another time.
Wonderful. Go ahead and plug all your stuff, your book, your show, your website, whatever.
Yes, please like me, follow me. PattyNegri.com is my website, PattyNegri.com. And you can get to everything from there. My book is called Old World Magic for the Modern World. I sometimes have one here. I sometimes don't. It's purple. You can get it on Amazon. Old World Magic for the Modern World. Tips, tricks, and techniques to empower and create a life you love. It basically is a book, almost like a hack book of how to live, put magic in your life every day. Simple things like why you keep salt in the bathroom and in the toilet and what this does. It's like great to meditate for an hour, but here's how to balance out in 30 seconds. It's simple. I spent more time unwriting it than writing it. So you can go, oh, the section on lung, oh, the section on weight loss, oh, the section on how to talk to dead people. Super simple. So that Old World Magic. And my school, if anybody really wants to learn, it's super affordable, universitymagicus.com. Very, very Harry Potter. We put real life Hogwarts because it's for everybody. Again, it's not, but Father Sebastian's my partner. We have vampires, witches, demonologists, Catholic priests, New Agers, spiritualists, Vikings, Celtics, voodoo and hoodoo, all positive magic and protective magic, but we don't tell you what to believe. We'll just show you all the different things that are there. So if you're interested in that, and then if you like this paranormal thing, I have a streaming service called paraflix.com. I'm a partner. It's like Netflix, but it's all paranormal. And it's 80% original content. So it's the ghost adventures you never saw. Different people, I mean, different teams from all over the world have an outlet now. And we have horror. We've brought over some amazing horror films from Amazon. And some spirituality, and I'm hoping to get more spirituality because I work with Gaia TV a lot. And even a few podcasts, but so if you're into PARAFLIXX.com, paraflix.com. And then my podcast, which I have to have you on mine too.
Yes.
It's called The Witching Hour. It's on all the regular places, The Witching Hour with Patty Negri. And I have experts on every day. So it's every week. It's the best in magic, science, spirituality, paranormal, whatever. And I just started a second one called Patty Negri's Haunted Journal, which are my stories, kind of like I even told today. It's like going into, because my other one is so how to make your life great,
right,
that people want scary stories. So I have that one now too. So I'm everywhere. Bathroom walls across America. Just PattyNegri.com. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Please like me, follow me. It's fun.
This is amazing because I was just on an interview with Gavin and Paula Kelly the other week, and they were talking about how they were on Paraflix. I had no idea that you own that. No idea.
I had 3 minutes a day. I'm one of three owners. It's Natalie Jones in Texas, our friend Nick Bonani, who's in Italy, now moving back to the UK, and myself. We're the three partners of Paraflix.
Oh,
and Nick, the kid, he's 22, is Sebastian and my's partner in the school, University of Magica. So
amazing.
And we've never met him in person because he's in Europe. And I think I was supposed to meet him in the UK in 2 weeks, but I think he got a new job. So maybe he's not.
Oh,
but yeah,
we
started Paraflix this year. I started both Paraflix and University of Magica.
Oh,
because I'm crazy.
Gotta stay busy. You know, that's me. He's all the time saying, you're busy all the time. You never have time to play a game with me or anything. I'm sorry. A game this day.
I know. I do. I have to. Okay. We can have coffee at 4 a.m. when I get home from the.
I love being busy and socializing. He's me a very too. Big introvert. And I'm a very social person. I love talking to people and I love meeting new people. And he's just like, no,
Well, I can't wait till we meet.
I know. Speaking of conventions, are you going to any conventions soon?
I'm going to 15 conventions, I think. Everyone. I'm going Michigan Paracon. I'm going something in Kansas. I'm going something in Dallas. We're doing a whole thing with Natalie.
Only 5 hours from here.
Is it? Yeah. Yes. That's a little thing. I'm doing two things there, actually. One, I'm doing all Patty weekend next month or April, which I'm teach workshops and do seance. It's at a little store called Miracles of Joy. That's not a big convention. That's like, we'll have 30 people, just this little fun, intensive, real inexpensive. And then we're doing ghost hunt things with Natalie in the group. I don't know when that is. I'm doing Vulture City Paracon in Arizona. I'm doing Para Experience in Tahoe. I'm doing the first time ever Ventura Paracon. My friend Stefan Bugatti, who's paranormal, he's Pacific Coast Paranormal. He's got a show on Paraflix too. And I've done a lot. He works at a beautiful haunted theater, old 30s theater. I think we're doing it there. And then I've got Romania and Ireland and UK and about three other places that I can't remember.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Romania.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm on my poor husband. It's like, bye. I get to take him to Ireland though, which is great. Cause he's Irish. His name is Kerry, K-E-R-Y. So he gets to go on that one with me. Most of the time I just,
that's fun. Right.
So yeah, Paracons are fun. They're fun. It's like, it's family reunions and you're hanging with whether it's the YouTubers or just the paranormal teams or it's the TV people. And Michigan Paracon, I'm doing that again. That was my biggest stage ever. That was fun last year. Cause that's a big one. Some of the Paracons, like in the out west, we don't have big places. The oldest thing we have is Mining Town. So you go to Vulture City or Virginia City or Nevada City, and they're not the big hundreds of 800 people. But Michigan Paracon, which is at a casino, that is a big one. So I had like for my mediumship gallery, I had like a 1200 seat theater. It wasn't 1200 people, but it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
Theater. And I'm like, oh, this is fun. This reminds me of my theater days, but big stage to myself. And I'm like, ooh, a lot of ghosts. But it was so funny. But all this big tech and beautiful theater, but my runner wasn't there. That's the person with a microphone who has to be like a football player because it's a football length. You are the person over here that talks to their mother there. And that person wasn't there. So Cindy Keza, who I love, she's a medium. Mm. She's on Holes of Fire. She goes, I'll do it. And I'm like, because I kind of idolize her. It's like, oh my God, my like idol is carrying my luggage. Okay. I go, well, she was doing one the next day. I'm like, I'll do it for you. But that was really fun. So I'm doing that again this year. I just booked that one, I think.
That's crazy too, because we were going to go to that. And then I was like, no.
You should go.
We should. I need to get a spreadsheet out and get everything. They're expensive though.
Well, I mean, because of the travel and all that stuff, but if you want to sell your podcast, if this is what you're doing, if you want to get out there, you get out there.
Yeah. That's what he was telling me too.
Do the scary stuff.
We're going to have to get all the stuff together and figure out a way.
To get a vendor booth is you could just go to it. Fine. But you're somebody. Get a vendor booth and they're really not expensive.
But thank you so much for spending the 2 hours with me. Thank you.
It flew by because you're a good host.
Thank you.
You're a very good host.
I always try to have fun. It's like, be yourself. That's all I ask.
Exactly. In life.
Exactly. All the time. Not just in front of a camera or in front of people. No. And there's so many people that I've seen in the ghost hunting and the investigator business that you see them in person and they're not the nice person you think they should be, especially where they came from. But
yeah,
you learn a lot.
You learn a lot.
Yeah, just don't let it get to your head. That's what thank you so much. You're a beautiful soul. And thank you so much for being on.
So are you. Keep sparkling.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too. Bye. Bye.
And that was the end of my interview with Patty Negri. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you guys have a wonderful Wednesday and a wonderful rest of your week. Tune in next week for who knows what I'm going to have on next week. Just tune in. Bye.